Well, I got to the end of the road, burning bridges wherever I go. But I promise you this, I am getting my kicks. So fuck you, this is my bucket list. Well, I got sick of living life, counting down to get
one,
from that
two,
high.
One, two, three, four. You guys, I'm drunk. And I'm doing this podcast intro now because I gotta. Because it's a holiday weekend in Vancouver. I have a friend visiting from Edmonton. And I didn't get the intro done on Sunday night. So now I'm drunk on a Monday night. Getting this intro done for you. So that you guys can have a podcast to listen to on a Tuesday. So that's just the things that I do for the people that I love. What have I done this week? This week I was like looking through my time hops and like, you know, when you like have those things, like, oh, a year ago. Well, I realized this week, a year ago, I met my boyfriend and he was in the front row of a comedy show. So that was cool. This is going to be a short intro. I don't know. Okay. So I did some shows in Abbotsford. I didn't really do a lot this week. There's not much to report. I'm sure I did stuff, but I can't remember right now because I've had a couple drinks. So, your guest this week is a very funny comedian from Vancouver. Also one of the semifinalists in Top Comic that I am in. Go to topcomic.seriousxm.ca to vote for me and for Kyle Bottom. And a lot of other people. The thing about this contest is there's really funny people in this contest. And you can go watch their comedy and then vote for them. Make sure you mostly are voting for me. But if you find someone else funny, fucking vote for them. That's what should happen. It's really fun in Canada how the only way we can get recognition is in contests. What a way to put it. What a way to do it for us. Yeah, I'm drunk and I don't care. What else? My dog made another corgi tonight and they fell in love and then he got friend zoned and it was really painful to watch because he was so in love with this sweet corgi and then some fucking French bulldog, $4,000 motherfucking bulldog, comes in with his big shoulders and his big fucking head and then this little basic bitch corgi goes running off with him and poor Eugene is just standing there being like, but I let you talk about your day at work with me, and I thought we were getting close. And then she's like, we're just friends. And then Eugene's like, I got fucking friend zoned again. And so now he's asked me to buy him a fedora. And he's been posting a lot of things about how women just want bad dogs, not good boys like him. I feel bad for him. Anyway. I don't know what else to say. Kyle Bottom is on this episode. Vote for us on Top Comic. Kyle is a very funny guy. And this episode was very good. Even though I made a big snafu. And I didn't realize that he was even getting married. And so I sound like a moron. But that's not new. Anyway, vote for me in Top Comic. It's the most thing that I need you to do for me. And I will be at the Yuck Yucks Vancouver, not this weekend, but the weekend after. I'm at Yuck Yucks Vancouver from August 18th and 19th. I think I'm there on the 16th as well. MCing. Anyway, I really gotta pee, so I gotta cut this intro short. Probably the shortest intro I've ever done, but I have to pee, and I love you all. Follow me on Instagram and Twitter, Kathleen_McGee. Go and rate and love this podcast. I love you all. Thank you so much. Thank you, Jake, for producing. I love you. Enjoy this episode.
Shutting down, good Lord. Baby got them open all over town. Strictly bitch, she don't play around. Cover much ground, got game by the town. Getting paid is a forte, each and every day.
Don't edit anything. And now you're you're giving the... Eugene loves you.
I love Eugene. He's a very, very nice dog.
He is a nice boy. He is a... He's had some issues with kids, which has been scary.
Yeah.
And, like, it's never when he... It's more when he's, like, really, really tired. Like, he's like a toddler. If he's tired, he gets grouchy and he starts snapping. And he's done it to, like, adults.
Yeah.
But once he's had his sleep... But kids... He came from a place where I guess the kids were mean to him, like poking at him all the time.
Yeah.
And so he had a negative, negative experience with little kids. And for some reason, if he sees a kid running, he'll go for their feet.
Oh, wow.
And I don't know if it's the herding in him, the corgi herding in him, or what it is.
Quite possibly.
But
what,
now.
What age of kid is
like
his...
little, like, I would say like toddler, walking toddler to like seven or. Like, my nephew's seven,
okay.
And he's. He's very protective of me, and one time my nephew hugged me, and he growled and snapped. So,
oh, wow.
I mean, my nephew's amazing because I've explained to him, like, just be very careful around him and slow. Oh, and now he's coughing. He's, like, getting up all up in your business. Eugene is very into your beard, too. He's just like his mom.
That's the thing that, yeah, dogs like doing that. They like to get a good smell of the beard.
Because they're like, is this a man or a dog man? But yeah, so like he's pretty good around kids, but it's scary, like, because you have a dog.
Yeah.
And he's part Chihuahua, which is a scary breed.
Yeah.
I think Chihuahuas are scarier than pit bulls.
Oh, really?
Honestly,
yeah. Because of how snappy they can get?
They can get, well, because they seem so small and innocent, but they can bite, like, really fast and, like.
Yeah.
I don't know.
The thing is, though, a lot of the time, like, their bites aren't real bites at first. Like, they'll snap and bite, but it's more of, like, a warning.
Yeah.
You know, like, yeah, Igor is fine with, like, babies and toddlers, but he hates, like, eight-year-olds.
Yeah.
If there's, like, just, like, a small human, like...
Running up to him.
Medium-sized human, yeah. Like, he'll just dart. And that's why we never take him off leash anywhere, right? Because, you know, you never want him to attack somebody.
Yeah, I've always taken Eugene off leash. I just know my mom always took our dogs all off leash, and it is nice to be able to take him to places like...
Oh, totally.
Trout Lake and stuff, but...
Yeah.
I'm just taking pictures of his ridiculous face as you scratch him. He's, like, so in love with this. Okay. This is bad radio.
That's the best thing about small dogs is that small dogs are so easy to pet because you barely have to move your hand, right? Like, with a big dog, you have to go, like back and forth and back and forth.
Yeah. It's not tiring petting a small dog. Did you grow up with dogs?
We had one dog. We had one dog when I was a kid because it was a stray and my mom found it and we basically like begged her to
keep it.
And we promised to take it for walks and we
never did.
My dad just like threw the tennis ball in the backyard for it for like...
What kind of dog was it?
It was a Cocker Spaniel.
Oh my God. Did he get like super chubby?
Oh, she got pretty fat by the end of her life. She lived a good life though. She went like blind and like she lived a long time.
Yeah. Yeah, but now you have your own dog. How long have you had Igor for?
Just over a year.
Yeah.
And he was almost a year when we got him.
How is he adjusting to life in Vancouver?
He loves it. I mean, he was pretty, like, opposed to the rain at first, but he kind of got used to that.
Do you have a little rain jacket for him?
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah, he doesn't like the rain either, but I got him a jacket.
I got him, like, a forest green jacket, and it makes him look like... The hobbits from the Lord of the Rings, like when they get those cloaks. He's adjusting to that. And he hates skateboards. He's a total food monster. Like he'll eat anything off the ground.
Yeah.
But he's good. Where does Eugene sleep?
He sleeps in our bed, which has become a problem.
Oh, really?
Because he sleeps all, like, he takes up all the space, and if you move him, he snarls at you or something.
Yeah.
Ooh. And...
You know what you can do? Because, like, does he bite at you when he snarls?
He bit at Adam once, and Adam was like, we're giving the dog away. I'm like, you are not fucking giving my dog away.
Do you want to know the trick?
What's the trick?
Because Igor sleeps in bed with us, and up until a month ago would snarl and bite at Rachel anytime she tried to move him.
Yeah.
And the trick is that when they do that, you yelp like an injured dog.
Oh.
And I guarantee If Eugene bites at one of you and either of you makes the yelp noise, he will stop and just be very concerned
and feel really bad.
Yeah, and he won't do it. Like,
oh,
Igor has improved a lot.
Yeah,
yeah. Like, now we can move him in the middle of the night, no big deal. And if he does get tough, then yeah, we just do one yelp and he's like, oh, sorry guys.
Aww.
Yeah.
Did you see that thing that was going around the internet that says that when dogs are fighting, they'll start sneezing, and that's their way of signaling to humans that this isn't a mean fight, this is a play fight?
Oh, that's crazy.
Isn't that crazy?
I've never heard that before,
and that's
but
so
that's
sweet,
cool.
too.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
It's just like, this is just for fun. Like, it's so
don't
cute.
Don't worry, guys.
Don't worry, I'm not trying to kill you. I'll
so
try to kill you in your sleep.
When we got Igor, the rule was that he wasn't allowed to sleep in our bed.
Yeah.
And he had to sleep in his own bed.
Yeah.
And then the rule, as soon as one of us got sick, the rule became, okay, well, he can come to the bed, but he has to start in his own bed.
Yeah.
And then it became, we just go and get him and put him in bed. And now he will get into bed on his own and, like, crawl underneath the covers.
Yeah, he loves to crawl under the covers, which is a little bit weird sometimes. But, yeah, it's so funny, like, when you first get a dog, you're like, I'm only going to feed it organic treats. It's going to sleep in its bed every night. I'm not going to allow it on the furniture. I'm just blah, 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 blah. My dog will know every single command within a month.
Oh, yeah.
And then you get a dog, you're like, okay, yeah, here's some Cheetos. I can feed him popcorn all the time. If I have popcorn, he's like, yeah, it's popcorn time. Like, yeah. I guess that's probably the same thing with parenthood. Like, you think you're going to, neither of us are parents, but you think you're going to be like this.
Yeah, totally. Creep,
but then you're just, they get here and you're like, oh, you're unpredictable. Yeah. And you do your own thing and you have your own little personality. So.
Yeah.
Is this like, is a dog, did you get a dog to train? Do you guys want to have kids?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
And, you know, based on what we've seen, Igor is good with babies and he's good with toddlers. So. We're not too concerned. Like, we think that, we think he'll be good with kids.
I think that also, like, you notice, like, do you know Peter Hudson out in Nanaimo? So they just had a baby.
Yeah, yeah.
And they have two dachshunds. Have you met Vegas and Rio?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I've seen them.
They're
like those dogs.
Super cute, super cute. And I can't remember if it's Vegas or Rio. I think it's the older one that's super protective of
the baby.
Like, super protective, like, sits with her, sits next to her. If you get close, like, when the dogs all came in and she, like, snarled at them. And, and I'm like, I think that they know that this is part of their pack now. Like, I think
totally.
That's, I've been watching a lot of Susan really on, so I call everything a pack.
That's, like, my sister had, like, a 140-pound dog, and she swears by Cesar Millan.
Yeah.
She's like, yeah, everything he says makes sense, and everything works. But yeah, I want that. I want Igor to think that our baby is like part of the pack, and I want him to like be protective of it.
Yeah.
I just think that'd be so cute.
Yeah. I'm sure that it would be.
Yeah.
I think that dogs, like, maybe they wouldn't be into a strange baby, but I think once they realize, oh, this baby has moved into this house.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's
totally.
Just a natural.
Yeah. And once
thing.
They see you like holding it and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think they get it.
Does he get jealous? Is he protective? Cause he's very protective of me and very jealous.
Yeah.
If I pay attention, because we have a kitten now.
Yeah.
And when I bring the kitten out, they love each other. But if I'm paying more attention to the kitten, he just stuffs his head in there. And it's like, hey, I'm still here, you bitch.
Yeah. Remember me? Do you remember me?
Your first one. Your first. Like, I think that it, like, it. Yeah. With a baby, though, it's a different thing. Dogs can figure it out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So you want to have a baby. So that means you want to get married. Are you guys going to get married sometime
soon? I'm
getting married. You're engaged?
I'm getting married this month.
What? I don't pay attention to anyone but me.
I'm getting married.
What? Why did I not know that?
Well, I mean, I don't know. I mean,
I think I actually did know you were engaged, but I didn't know you were getting married this month. You didn't pull a Kevin Banner and just, hello, we're married.
That was hilarious.
Did you know about that beforehand? Because you're really close with Kevin.
I got about, like 2 days notice.
Yeah.
Hey, just heads up, don't tell anyone, but we're getting married this weekend, and then we're going to have a celebratory party sometime next year. And I was like, cool.
Yeah.
And I was most excited that he had to take a Muslim name, and he chose Farouk.
amazing.
It was great. He has a good joke he's working on about it, so I won't spoil it.
But, don't spoil it, but it's a good one.
Yeah,
I'll have to have him back on. I was actually just talking to Kevin because he has had an issue with his landlord about a card key.
Oh, yeah.
And then I told him to do something naughty with the bill, nice. With the check. And then I'll let Kevin tell it next time we have Kevin Banner on here. But so you're going to marry in a month. Is it a big wedding?
It's not huge.
Let's talk about weddings, because I'm like, I'm on two sides of the fence with weddings. Like, yeah. I'm a very non-traditional person. Like, I don't want to have it be a six-month-long affair with showers and blah. I'm not into that. Sure, but some girls are. And I'm not into spending thousands of dollars on a dress I'm going to wear once. Mm-hmm. But I get the whole, like,
yeah,
feeling of going and getting. And because that stupid fucking show, every bride's like. Yeah.
You know what? I'll say this. Like, so my I'm getting married on August 28th,
uh-huh.
and my friend is getting married on the 19th, which is like just over a week before us.
Yeah.
And he's getting married at the Russian Hall, which is...
Where is that one?
Down in Strathcona.
Okay.
And like they're having the ceremony there and the reception there. And I think that like in this day and age, if you want to get married and have it not cost you $1 billion,
yeah.
the best thing to do is to scrap as many wedding conventions as possible.
Yeah.
And, like don't do a public ceremony. Just get married in private and then have a party later that night.
Why would you ever... I find ceremonies to be so impersonal when there's over a certain amount of people there. And, like, this isn't... You're not getting married in front of all these people. It should be you and, like, your maid of honor and yeah. your best man. And you get married. And that part... Because that part would feel really... intrusive if there was people mm-hmm. that I didn't really know there, because you know that happens where you have yeah. to invite people you don't really know.
Yeah. So I would say just do a private ceremony like at City Hall or something like yeah. that with your witnesses, and then plan a party that's in one location, like a place like the Russian Hall, which is just like
yeah.
like a banquet hall.
Yeah, yeah.
And don't say it's a wedding. Just say you're having a party.
I watched this thing on Marketplace yeah. about how the wedding industry is so bad, because what they did was they had the exact same things that they wanted. They went to the exact same vendors, and one was for an anniversary party and one was for a wedding. Yeah. And the weddings, they charged so much more because yeah. it was a wedding.
Everything is more expensive for weddings.
And that's crazy.
Yeah. So the way to do it is like, well, and you guys have a hookup. I don't know if you'd want Adam's work to cater your wedding, but like,
no.
No.
Well, I mean, like, Adam is in the food.
You have something
food.
Against pulled pork?
No, I fucking love pulled pork. He just actually catered a wedding, and he said it was a pain in his ass. But
I bet it was.
But, like, I don't know what I'd ever... I honestly am, like, a person... I love the idea of a Mexico wedding.
Where oh, yeah?
I really do, where it's just, like, I don't have to worry about anything. It's all there, and yeah. I can just hang out and party with the people that came. And then... And come back and have a barbecue.
Yeah.
And because your girlfriend's from Toronto, right? And her family is out there?
No, no, no.
Oh, she's so all here.
We met in Toronto, but she's also from here.
Okay, so that's good. There's yeah. not two cities no. where... Because I'm from Edmonton.
Yeah.
And he's from Langley. Yeah. So there's like... But I would rather just have one place where everyone goes, and then you can have two parties in those places afterwards.
Banff. Because
Banff.
You have to meet halfway between, right?
And you want to spend $1 trillion? Go to Banff. Banff's insane. I don't even know why I'm talking about this non-existent wedding in my life, but okay.
Hey, no, no, no. Once you have two pets with somebody, that's a committed relationship.
That is a committed relationship, yeah. yeah.
Actually, once you have one dog.
You oh,
can
a
have,
dog,
you can
yeah.
have one cat and still not be in a committed relationship.
Yeah, I feel like it's easier for you to separate and one person take the cat. But yeah. I think that people get way too attached to dogs.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, like Adam had a dog. He was married before, and he had a dog in that relationship, and he still talks about that dog almost on a daily basis.
Of
it's
course.
Adorable and sad.
Yeah.
But... So you got, okay, so where are you getting, do you want to say we're getting married? Or are people going to crash, don't crash Kevin, Kyle's wedding.
I will say, yeah, no crashing the wedding. So we're doing a church ceremony because.
Are you guys religious?
No, but Rachel's mom is a member of a church in Vancouver.
Yeah.
And so we got the venue and the.
For
the,
super cheap.
The guy for free.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so that was all free. Great.
Yeah.
And then we rented a banquet hall that's on the water.
Nice.
But here's the thing. We're getting married on a Monday because it's a third of the price to rent the place.
That's really smart.
Yeah. So on a Saturday night,
yeah,
the venue is like $6,000 to rent for the night.
Yeah.
And on a Monday, it's $2,000. So we're like, well, we'll get married on a Monday because it's in the summer anyway. Who cares, right? Like,
yeah. People can take the day off.
Yeah,
people can
take the day off. Doesn't matter.
Do vacation.
Yeah.
It is cool. It's crazy because like some people are like, you're not having a wedding on a Saturday? But it's like I've heard of Friday weddings and stuff. Just it's cheaper.
We're stoked to do it on a Monday. Like, it's the Monday before Labor Day. So, you know, if people had to travel for the wedding, they're going to have to take a day off work anyway.
Yeah.
Like, no one's, if we're having a Saturday wedding, no one's going to fly out on Saturday.
Yeah.
Right? So,
and that's also smart because people maybe won't get as drunk as they would on a Saturday.
Yeah. And we're not doing open bar. We're doing toonie bar.
That still is going to cost you.
Yeah. But I feel it keeps people accountable.
Yeah.
Right? Because then they have to, like, buy drink tickets and, like, keep track of how much they're spending.
Oh, yeah.
When
every
you do open bar, everyone just drinks as much as they want.
Well, because it's a challenge for some people.
Yeah, I know.
Like, when Kathleen McGee goes to a wedding with an open bar, I'm just like, well, you've just challenged me to drink everything in this fucking
the
place.
The gauntlet is dropped.
I'm starting a shooter bar.
What do you think of this beer I brought over?
I really like it. Where is it from?
It's from a place on Venables called Lupolo.
Lupolo.
Ooh, I would recommend going there for beer and food sometime.
Yeah.
Because they have pretty good sandwiches.
Oh, I love sandwiches.
They do these, like, flatbread sandwiches. Yeah. They're like the size of a calzone. And they're just stuffed with, like, prosciutto and brie. And
that sounds amazing.
Oh, yeah.
And Venables is my favorite street name in Vancouver.
Right?
Because it sounds like a cat food or a cat treat, I think. Would you like some Venables?
Yeah,
and
totally.
And it also has La Casa Gelato.
We do love... Actually, Lupolo is right next to La Casa Gelato.
Right next to it?
Yeah, it's like... So, there's La Casa Gelato, their parking lot.
Yeah.
And then the next business is Lupolo.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they just like... Yeah, they do nice beer and they do, yeah, like Italian sandwiches.
Oh, I like it. There's like... How many craft beer places in Vancouver? It's the craft beer.
Like, because I live down in Strathcona.
Yeah.
And that's like... Brewery Central.
Yeah.
There's like Lupolo and like four other breweries that are within like a block or two of me.
Oh, that's nice.
And then if you go like down towards Hastings, there's even more breweries down there.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
And all of that. Yeah. You think it's like like textile businesses, but no, it's just beer.
I would love to do like a comics like pub crawl of the tasting rooms.
That would be fun. No, we don't do comedy. We just go drink, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, because
there's like,
good.
Well, we'd be so out of it by the end of it, right? Because there's like 16 breweries down there. If we had one round or like one flight at each brewery, yeah, it'd be ridiculous.
Oh, that would be ridiculous. We could rent a little bus.
Ooh, that'd be fun.
I wonder how much school buses are to rent.
Mm,
they can't be that much.
No.
I don't know.
We could just steal one.
Steal a school bus and then have a drunk comic drive it around.
Yeah, we'll all go
oh
to
yeah,
jail.
That sounds like a really good idea. La Casa Gelato, back to La Casa Gelato. For people that don't know and are not familiar, it's my favorite place to bring people that have never been there before because they walk in and it's like old Italian music, like 50s Italian music playing and like just over 200 different types of gelato.
Yeah.
And you can sample as much as you want.
Yeah, and the whole place smells like waffle cones.
Oh, that's the best part. I took some friends and they got cups. They didn't get waffle cones. I'm like, what are you doing?
Man.
That's so stupid. I got Rice Krispie Square last time.
That is good.
It's the best. It's like Marsh has full marshmallows in it.
Nice.
It was the most exciting surprise.
I like anything there that has peanut butter in it.
Yeah, I find
the peanut butter flavors to be really good.
Have you ever tried their scary flavors like garlic or...
No.
My friend tried garlic and he goes... It's surprisingly good. And then I tried black sesame. I'm like, that was horrifying.
Mm.
It's too much chunky bits of sesame seed in it. So it wasn't very good.
I had an avocado ice cream, not from there, but a long time ago that I really liked.
That wouldn't be gross because avocados, my friend's vegan and she used to make this cocoa powder, avocado frozen pudding chocolate thing. And it was amazing. It's very because avocados are really creamy and smooth.
Yeah.
Oh. That's what vegans use to cream up stuff.
You know what? Yeah. Hell yeah. That's all they eat. That's all vegans
fucking
eat.
Creamy vegans.
Yesterday, I'd never had this before, but we had half an avocado that we needed to use and we didn't have anything to make with it.
Yeah.
So Rachel just like cut it up inside of the skin. And then, like, mushed it up a bit and poured soy sauce on it. And it was so good.
Avocados are so great. And I don't understand why they cost extra. Because they are not that fucking expensive anymore.
Yeah.
They're not that every time they're like, guacamole is extra. I'm like, why? when did this whole racket of guacamole being more happen?
Because here's the thing, is that if guacamole wasn't extra, then everyone would get guacamole.
Yeah, because it's the best.
It's a privilege, not a right.
Guacamole is a privilege. Will you be having guacamole at your wedding?
I don't think so.
They're not privileged
that would be,
enough.
Man, wedding guacamole would be so expensive.
It would be really expensive. That would be pretty crazy. wedding guacamole. That's no, when you know you're at a good wedding. Yeah, there's guacamole.
Because a regular tub of guacamole is $100, but a wedding tub of guacamole is
$1,000. $1,000. Did you tell people you were getting it was for a wedding?
Yeah, because... it's just so, it's such a stress ball. Like, we're having a fairly traditional wedding. Like, we're doing ceremony at a
church,
and then a reception at a second venue. And, you know, like, Rachel's really big on, like, you know, wearing the beautiful wedding dress.
Yeah, of course.
All of that stuff. So, you can't just, like, it'd be weird if you showed up. Like, we're scheduling a birthday party, and then you show up
in a wedding dress. This is just my regular outfit. It is like, I'm not dissing weddings and saying they're bad. I just find it, like, it's crazy. Well, I just know I'm broke. Like, there's no way I could even have a wedding, you know, right now. Like, there's no, it's so fucking expensive.
Oh, yeah, totally.
It's so crazy.
I think that's part of the reason Kevin and Fatima just, like, got it over with right away.
Yeah.
Because Kevin asked how much my wedding was going to be, and I told him. Yeah. And he was like, but you're having a small wedding. And I was like, yeah, but a small wedding is still a wedding.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, even James Kennedy and Sophie are getting engaged. Yeah. And Sophie had this engagement party at, I can't remember which place, but she had it all invited, and then she canceled. I'm like, what's going on? She's like, I can't afford it. It's like, they want like a couple $1,000 for one engagement party.
Yeah.
She's like, we just don't have that money. And I'm like, we'll just have it here. And we had like a barbecue in my backyard, and I have a lot of space here, so it's fine.
Eugene's just a beast.
He's getting us into trouble.
He's got a case of the flops. He's just been flopping over looking to fight.
He wants to fight. He loves to fight. Loves to fight.
Igor's kind of growing out of fighting a little bit.
Yeah.
But with the right dog, he'll still rock it out.
He'll still rock it. Rock it like a socket. I love my dog so much. It's gross.
He's adorable.
I took him to daycare the other day because Adam and I went to Playland.
Oh, yeah.
And I cried when I dropped him off. And Adam was laughing at me, and I'm like, don't you fucking tell anyone. I will tell everyone on my podcast.
Nice.
Okay, stop.
How much is dog daycare?
Well, we took him to Adventure Den. And we got a Groupon for it. There's two sessions for like $30.
Oh, yeah.
And then their first session was free. So that one was 14 hours for free.
Wow.
And now I have these two sessions still. But I think it's like a half day is $20.
Oh, yeah.
And then a full day is $35. Cool. And it's worth it because I just don't want to leave him alone for 7 hours.
Yeah.
And I know people do that with their dogs and stuff. But the reason why I got a dog is because I finally was in a position where I was going to be home and I was going to be around to hang out with them. Because it's like, I feel so bad for dogs who only see their parents on the weekend. You know what I mean? Like, because people work and that's something that you have to like think of. I waited forever to get a dog. If I was a irresponsible person, I would have had a dog years ago.
Yeah.
And he would have had a terrible quality of life.
Yeah. But they, more than cats, actually need...
Oh, you can leave a cat for... We used to leave our cats for the weekend. We'd just dump out a bag of
kitty
litter.
Yeah, and you get back and you're mad, but then they get over it.
But they get over it. Like, but dogs are too codependent and dependent on you. And it is a good first step before having kids. I don't think I'm going to have kids, but like...
You don't know.
Yeah, that's what everybody says.
You don't know, Kathleen.
Oh, my God. Plus, I'm 36.
Oh, yeah.
I don't want to have a teenager when I'm in almost 50 land. Isn't that... That's people don't think about that.
Toby and his wife didn't get pregnant until they were like 40.
But they wanted to have kids, they wanted to do that. I don't like. I'm 10% wanting to have kids. So imagine like 10% wanting to have kids, and they have one. I'm like 50 years old, and I have some fucking brat that I'm. I mean, I'm sure I wouldn't think they were a brat.
No,
by the
your
time.
Kid would be a total brat.
My kid, and that's my other thing is I don't want to have a kid that I don't like. Is it possible to not like your kids?
Once they get like their own personalities,
But what about if you raise like a murderer or something?
Yeah, that's
like
on you
ever
you.
Think about those
that's
things? That is.
No, the parents don't actually get blamed if you raise a murderer. It's like societal problem because it's nature and nurture, right?
That's true. What does your fiance do for a living?
She works for a theater company.
Oh, so you guys are both in the arts.
Yeah,
are
but she like is in makes the 9-to-5 arts.
But and makes money.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or, I mean, I'm sure you make money too. I'm not saying you well, don't make money, but I know what it's like to be. We're both in a contest to win $25,000.
Oh, yeah.
Do you want to win that to pay off your wedding?
Oh, no. Rachel's paying for the wedding. She's
oh my God.
Good with money.
Yeah.
As soon as we got engaged, she started saving like crazy.
Yeah.
And like, I've just been an idiot the whole time. Like, I got a job at a weed dispensary that I quit last month.
Why?
Because they kind of had shady business practices. Like,
yeah.
All of their stores in Toronto got raided and shut down, and people got charged with, like, felonies.
Oh, my God.
Like, drug trafficking.
Yeah, I was going to say, weren't you ever scared about that happening?
Well, especially because I was the oldest person there. So, as soon as the cops walked in, they'd be like, that's the guy.
Oh, my God. Arrest him.
It's like, one time a plumber came in to fix our sink, and he was talking to my boss. And then, after he finished talking to her, he came over to let me know what he was going to do. And I was like, no. That was the boss. That half-naked girl you were talking to, that's who's in charge.
That too? Dispensaries, like, always have these, like, hot...
Just, like, jeans and a bikini top.
Yeah, just, like, super hot. They never have, like, I didn't say they never have hot guys. I'm not saying that. But it's never, like, a cute boy behind the counter. It's always these sexy little girls.
Yeah, and, like, nerdy stoner guys.
Why do they do that? Is it, like, a bar thing? Like, the beer tub girl has to be super sexy to buy more?
I think it's a good job. Like, you know, they don't pay terribly. They pay above minimum wage, and you do get tips.
Yeah.
And you get discounts on weed.
Oh, that's
and
good.
It's like a way for you to work. Like, I guess if you're a young, attractive lady, most jobs you're probably going to get sexually harassed at.
Yeah.
But at a weed store, like, you're just behind a counter, and like, if someone's rude to you, you'd be like, fuck off, you weirdo.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. But it's always, super cute, adorable girls working at weed shops and stoner nerd guys.
Yeah.
Always.
And me, the 35-year-old.
So what, do you have a job now? Or are you?
I'm working at an antique store now.
Oh, wow.
Which is just like working at a weed store.
No one comes in. Yeah. Which antique store?
It's just on Kingsway, actually.
Did they just move over there?
Yeah.
Because they were on Main Street?
Yeah.
Okay, I know exactly which one that is.
Yeah.
What, so, are you into antiques?
I like them. I mean, I don't know much about them.
How did you get a job at an antique store, then?
A lot of Rachel's friends work there.
Okay.
Like, a lot of actor types work there. And so, yeah, it's just, like, it's a pretty fun job. Especially when there's, you know... Like, you know, we get in, like, wood furniture like this, and sometimes it's all, like, scratched up.
Yeah.
You have to, like, restain it with, like, furniture polish.
Yeah.
So it's pretty cool. If I can ever, like, get out to a garage sale or a flea market, if I find things that are cool, I can buy them and then sell them at the store.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And get, like, it's a consignment thing, right?
Yeah, so the normal consignment is, like, 50-50.
Yeah.
But... for employees, it's like 70-30.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't really have an eye for that sort of thing, but...
Do you ever talk to Kevin Fox about that?
No, but I remember seeing his posts about
it. Oh, he always would post about furniture that he was selling. That was one of his little rackets that he would sell furniture.
Yeah.
Like antique furniture.
Yeah.
Vancouver's full of it, because Vancouver is full of super old people clinging to their homes.
Yeah.
Like...
And people selling their homes that they bought for... $500,000.
Oh my God. I saw.
They're like, burn all of this.
And right?
Like, you can give it away. Okay, give it away.
I saw like a beautiful old, like antique-y kind of like 1940s couch. And this lady was selling it for her mom for like that and a love seat and a chair for $400. And I'm like, my aunt is very into antique furniture. And she's talked to me about it. I'm like, that is worth like $2,000. Mm-hmm. And I was like, if I had the money, I totally would have gone and bought it and taken it to consign it or something.
Flip
that furniture.
Flip that furniture.
Can you write a lot at work?
Yeah. Like, there's a lot of time to like, kind of like sit and gather your thoughts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How long have you been doing comedy for now?
Like 12 years.
Yeah, we're exactly the same then.
Yeah.
What's your start date?
Like 2005?
2005.
October?
Mine was February.
Nice.
February 1st, 2005, Yuck Yucks Edmonton.
Nice. Well, I did a bit of comedy at the start of like 2001.
Yeah.
And then like shortly after September 11th.
You quit?
It was probably like a couple months after that. Like it wasn't because of September 11th.
Yeah.
Because I just like... I bombed a bunch of shows in a row.
Yeah.
And I was just like, I literally can't handle this.
Yeah.
Like, so I just like played World of Warcraft.
So what
like
made you come
years.
Back? You didn't want to play World of Warcraft anymore?
I did still want to play it. It is still a great game. No, it's just like, so I took a ton of time off, and then like I went through a bunch of like life changes in a row. Like I moved into Vancouver because I was always out in the suburbs in Tawasin.
Oh, Tawasin, that's where you're from?
My parents live, yeah. And I lived with them till I was 23.
Yeah. Oh, I lived with my parents off and on until I was like 24, 25.
Yeah, I moved out twice.
I was the boom. My mom called me the boomerang. She's like, I'll throw you out, but you always come back and you got more shit with you.
Yes.
So, yeah, no, I've like, we have this like parallel exact sort of things.
Yeah,
so
I moved into the city. I got a job like in the city and I got a girlfriend and I got all these things. And then I was like, okay, now I can start doing comedy. Cause like now I have all these things that like give me confidence. Right. Before I was just like some basement nerd from the suburbs.
And who was like on the scene that was like a headliner here in Vancouver when you started?
Oh, good question. Like when I started, Graham was around. Graham was like already, like still already
like
a big deal back then.
Yeah.
Because I think he took over the Laugh Gallery in, like 2002 or 2003.
Oh, wow, okay.
Yeah,
he's been doing it forever.
Well, because that used to be, it was at a sushi restaurant, and it was at the same venue before it was a sushi restaurant.
Okay.
And then before that, it was across the street at a Mexican restaurant.
Oh, crazy.
So that show has been around for, like, 17 years.
Yeah.
Because I think it started in late 2000.
Wow.
Yeah. But, yeah, who was around on the scene back then? I'm trying to think. Richard Lett.
Oh, yeah. We all know Richard Lett is the reason that the Vancouver scene is here.
Yeah, that was the first person who took me on the road.
Oh, was that your first road gig was with Richard Lett? What was that like?
We went to Kelowna.
Yeah.
And I had one good show, and I bombed one show badly. And then on the way home, I was like, I need to work on those jokes, make them funnier. And
yeah.
He was like, I think you need to write some new jokes. And that was actually good advice.
Yeah, it was good. It is good advice to tell you to write new jokes. Was that how long have you been doing comedy when you went on the road? Was it a Yucks gig or what was it?
Cause I think it was a Yucks gig back then.
When I started in Edmonton, you would do Comedy Factory gigs for Bob Angeli first, which were like $50 to go to Grand Prairie.
Nice.
Yeah. And do like you'd get $50 even if you did two shows, $50.
That's crazy.
Yeah. And you were so excited to do that. But then I did my first on tour Yuck Yucks gig was to Prince Albert with Dan Quinn.
Nice.
And I remember the hotel we were staying at was horrifying.
Yeah.
And I was just like, is this what it's like? But I must have loved comedy enough. So I was like, no, I'll put up with this disgusting hotel crap.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I was still kind of, it was exciting.
Yeah, it is exciting.
Yeah. I mean, it's not as exciting anymore.
Life on the road. Life on the road.
Do you tour a lot?
No. Like,
no.
Not at all. That's why I make like no money.
Why don't you tour?
I just don't like traveling. Do you know how long you have to travel to get to gigs?
Yeah, I do. I do
brutal.
It. I do it.
It's like 10 hours of driving? Fuck, that's like...
It's always funny to tell Americans that because they're like, oh, I was on the road. It was like 3 or 4 hours in between this one city. I'm like, yeah, I remember driving to Fort St. John from Edmonton. It was like 13 hours.
Yeah, that's like... Americans don't understand how easy they have it because their population is so huge. Like,
there's a city everywhere.
And there's another city.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, like, it's not like that in Canada.
No,
like,
you gotta drive long distances, and sometimes with people that you do not like.
Yeah. Like, you can do shows in Vancouver, and, like, Whistler.
Yeah.
And then, like, the Okanagan.
Yeah.
But, like...
Northern, like, Prince George, and...
Yeah.
Have you ever done a Big Tom gig?
I've worked with Tom.
Yeah.
But I, all the gigs I've done up north have been, like, I've done, like, PG shows for like the for Kevin and then also for like the Lions. What are they called? No,
like,
what are they called? Kinsmen.
That's Kinsmen.
Yeah. I've done like Kinsmen comedy shows.
Yeah. What's that like?
It's fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, like doing Kinsmen shows. Did a show in like PG in Vanderhoof and then like in Terrace and Kitimat.
Yeah.
That was a fun tour.
Vanderhoof and Wynyard, Saskatchewan. Two towns I never want to step foot in again.
Vanderhoof can go fuck itself. It's the shittiest dumb city.
I took Carl Turnbull to do some Big Tom gigs. And yeah. We had a show in Vanderhoof. And there were four people in the crowd. And the bar owner insisted that we still do the show.
Yeah.
And also the hotel. Like, I got to my room, main floor, no curtains. Like, blood on the walls type of hotel. Yeah. Like, just horrifying. Yeah. Like, sleep on top of the bed in two layers of clothing type of hotel.
Yeah.
And it was the middle of winter, bad weather. And so Carl, the show, he has this joke about crones. And he starts doing it. And then this girl in the crowd's like, Crohn's isn't funny. Crohn's is a horrifying disease. And she's like, I have Crohn's. And then Carl stops and goes, oh my God, I'm so sorry. And then he finishes the joke. And I was like, yeah, I love Carl. That's Carl, so that funny. I just like, my respect just soared for Carl when I saw him do that. I'm like, he doesn't give a fuck. And I love that.
Yeah, that's
but
great.
Then we had to leave the next day and it was a major snowstorm. And we left at 5 a.m. in the dark. Was driving through snowstorm, looked like I got vertigo because it was, and I kept telling, I was driving, I was like, it's okay, Carl, this is great, we're fine. And I, the whole time, I'm like, we're gonna die in my head. I'm like, we're gonna die. But yeah, Vanderhoof can go fuck itself.
Yeah, they're like, I've done two shows there. One of them was like the one you described,
yeah,
which was like seven people in a huge bar.
Yeah.
And as soon as the show was over, like 30 people showed up to play pool and like darts.
Yeah.
Because they were like, oh, there's a show there tonight. We'll wait till it's over.
Have you ever had like a moment where you're like, oh, I'm a pro comic now, where something happened and like even your family was like, oh, this is real?
I don't know.
You haven't had that?
I don't think so.
What?
Yeah, I do road gigs.
Like you won a contest or like.
No. Well, I don't know. Like. I've participated in a bunch of cool things, but I've never won anything.
No?
No.
Have you gone to Just for Laughs yet?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the first time I was there was brutally bad.
Why?
Oh, like, I tanked my homegrown set pretty hard, because I had this mustache joke that was killing in Vancouver for like 2 years.
Yeah.
And I kept a mustache on my face just so I could do this really quick joke off the top.
Yeah.
And it did not work in Montreal.
No.
At all. In Montreal, they're like, what do you mean? The mustache is awesome. And in like, so that rattled me. And then I just, you know, didn't have it. Like, yeah. So they didn't like my first joke. And about like halfway through my second joke, I was having one of those sets where you're in the back of your mind being like, oh, this isn't going well, and yeah, I have to do the next 5 minutes of it.
We weren't on the same homegrown year, were we?
No, I was on the year with K-Trev.
Okay, yeah. So I think it was a year before or a year after me.
Yeah. So, like, I was on the year with, like, K-Trev, Eddie DeLaSepe, Rebecca Kohler, Bobby Mayer.
Yeah, oh, that's crazy.
Sterling was on my year. But, yeah, like, I just had an awful, awful set.
I had a terrible homegrown set too.
Yeah.
Which is the worst because that show is so stressful and builds you up so hard.
Oh yeah.
And you have all your friends saying you're going to win, you're going to win. And like you don't want to be like, I'm going to win. But then your friends are all saying it. So you start being like, yeah, I might win this thing. And then you bomb and then you feel like you've disappointed your entire hometown.
Yeah.
it's
brutal.
I really want them to do a Canadian New Faces. I really want this whole, why do we have to compete for everything? Even this top comic thing, I've said, why don't you guys just do a contest and pick out of these cities six comics to take on tour in the fall and do a top comics of Canada tour instead of making us constantly compete for the best.
You know what's killing me about this contest is that last year they showed the results of the voting every day.
I don't want to see the results.
But that's what's killing me is I don't know.
But if you knew the results, what would you do? What if you knew if you were behind, then you'd go extra hard and be crazy. Yeah. If you were ahead, maybe you'd get a little lazy and be like, I'm ahead, it's fine. Or this is what I was talking to Michelle Shaughnessy about this today, because she's like, I wish they had that leaderboard thing. I'm like, no, I do not, because that's when people become assholes to each other.
I just feel like it's causing me a lot of anxiety not knowing what's happening.
Yeah.
I'm just like, I don't know where we're at.
But there's also two wild card spots.
Yeah.
So even if you don't get through, through voting, you still have the chance for the judges are going to pick you to go through the finals.
Yeah. Yeah, what a, I'll be so glad when the voting's over. This is a, just a stress sandwich.
It's a stress sandwich, and it's a, it's just, you feel like you're an annoying person.
Yeah, right? You're like, every day.
Yeah, and everybody's always like, no, remind me. I want you to remind me. But yeah, then, but you know why you feel annoying? It's because comics that aren't in it make you feel annoying.
Yeah.
And that's just the...
Man, fuck comics who aren't in it. I'll tell you right now, Canada, if you're not in Top Comic, you can go
fuck
yourself.
You're a nobody.
Because you're probably a no-talent loser.
No, there's plenty of people that should be in it that aren't in it.
Yeah, if you auditioned and you didn't get through, you suck. I'm talking to you, Tim Nutt.
I almost didn't audition this year because my last 2 years have been horrible. You were there. I cried. But I cry because I get like, I work myself up and then I disappoint myself and then I'm a fucking emotional person. I cry for every, I drop my dog off at daycare and I cry.
You know what's so funny was when I saw the lineups, I was like, oh, I'm going to go watch those Comedy Mix shows because I want to see Kathleen cry. And then I saw you in the top three and I was like, eh, she probably still cried.
I probably cried a little bit because I was like, oh my God, it's like a, if I get stressed out, I will cry. Oh, there's my dog. He's chasing his tail.
That is.
He does that funny. All the time and then he'll catch it. I get accused of being a poor loser because I cry, but it's like I'm not crying.
Do you know how stressful this shit is?
Exactly. I was in the year that Dave Mirhaj won, and I did not do well, and I cried backstage, and I was just upset with myself. I know I didn't do well, but then I started hearing rumors that I was complaining that Dave won. I'm like, no, Dave had the best set. Like, the people that won, I was upset with myself. So it's just this thing, and it's just like, and the worst part is that girls are, especially girls in male industries, we're always told not to cry because it'll make us look weak. And I'm like, fuck you, get the boys to cry once in a while so they can let out some of their friggin' emotions once in a while.
Yeah.
And not, you know. But,
no, I hear you.
But it is like, yeah, I do cry. You've seen it. You've seen it a lot. Everybody's seen me cry.
I cry. I just do it at home in private.
I've talked about this before. I want to open like a retreat where men can come and rent a small room and just sit in it and cry for the whole weekend if they want and get all their shit out. And no one's going to call them weak and no one's going to make fun of them. And you know, you can cry about your dad or your mom or whatever pissed you off in your life.
Yeah, and you just have
go
like
back.
Preloaded sad music, preloaded sad videos.
Put movies that make you cry. Just get those because that's a problem with men and aggression and stuff is you're not allowed to show your true emotions.
Yeah.
Because then you're a weak man.
Oh, totally.
And I think it would be a great place to just open that. It's like
toxic masculinity. That's the that's the problem.
Well, and I think that men that are sexually aggressive need to cry more.
Oh, yeah.
People that are like that need to just get emotions out. They need to be able to express their emotions a little bit more.
Yeah, because they're clearly not using them in the right way.
Yeah, exactly. It's a... I use my emotions all the time. But I'm also, like, in Canada, like, everybody is not competitive. I don't know what the word is, but we're fighting for very few spots.
Oh, in Canadian comedy?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And one of the prizes with this contest is you get the top three people will get spots at Just for Laughs next year.
All of the Just for Laughs.
Yeah.
All three.
Yeah. Just for Laughs 42, Just for Laughs Northwest, and Just for Laughs in Montreal.
Yeah.
Which is great.
So, like, I think how it works is, like, the top three, they do, like, a showcase at JFL Northwest. They do, like, a best of series.
Yeah.
And then at JFL 42, you get a solo show.
Yeah.
Which is a big deal. And then at Just for Laughs, you get a TV taping.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those prizes are... I mean, the $25,000 is amazing, but those prizes are almost just as valuable.
Totally. Those are more valuable.
Than $25,000?
$25,000 comes and goes. But the peace of mind of knowing that you don't have to audition for three major festivals?
Yeah, that is...
That's priceless.
No.
For me,
I'd rather have $25,000 than
peace of mind. I get ants in my pants. I got anxiety.
Maybe I don't have enough anxiety. I get anxiety now because my boyfriend has super anxiety. So then I get anxious around him because it's sort of you feed off of other people around you.
Oh, yeah.
Does your girlfriend get high anxiety now because of you?
Are you
ruining her?
I think she also, yeah, definitely. She also gets anxious about things, but she gets anxious about like little things.
Yeah.
And then she'll want to like talk to me about them. And I'm like, do you understand that I'm worried about
everything? Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, it's like, yeah, anxiety. Although, do you have, like, diagnosed anxiety or are you just a worrier? You've been diagnosed.
Oh, yeah. I'm medicated.
You're medicated.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's I'm glad you went and got diagnosed and figured out. People that are just like, I have anxiety, but they won't get diagnosed. I'm like,
yeah.
You won't get diagnosed because you don't want something to tell me like, tell you like, no, you don't have anxiety. You just worry too much.
Yeah, yeah.
And you just need to do a few things.
Or I think especially for comics, comics are like, well, I don't want to like go on meds because then I'll lose my comedic edge. Oy, and that is so not true.
And all the comics that say that usually don't have any edge. Usually.
Oh, take that.
Do you do a lot of anxiety jokes?
I have a couple. I have like three.
That's fine. Three anxiety jokes is... I've seen a trend, though, that there are some anxiety comics where their entire set is about their anxiety. God. And I'm like... But I guess that's why people like Kathleen talks about sex too much. So, but I have the same thing about people that just talk about anxiety and my mental issues all the time. It's like, yeah. Try something different.
Yes. You can't just beat the same drum for your entire yeah. set, right? Like, you should be showing different sides of yourself.
Yeah.
And I like doing, like, I have like, yeah, like three jokes about my anxiety. And I like doing them because I feel like it just humanizes me a little bit more for the audience.
Yeah.
Like, you know, they can tell that it's real. Like, I kind of, like, break it down and be like I use anxiety as a punchline.
Uh-huh.
And then I immediately follow up with, like, that's, like, a real thing. Like,
yeah.
A lot of these are jokes, and, like, that's a real part of it. And, yeah. But I would never want to, like, yeah, have, like, an hour on anxiety.
No, it's crazy. Unless you are being paid to write an hour on anxiety.
Yeah.
And you're doing a themed Fringe show.
Yeah.
Do you ever want to do The Fringe? Have you done The Fringe?
I've done The Fringe not for stand-up comedy.
But just plays.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I did a sketch comedy show in the 2000 Vancouver Fringe.
Yeah.
And then I did a play in, I think, the 2005 Fringe. And that's what got me back into comedy, actually.
I just dumped beer all over myself because nice. Eugene was on top of me. Okay. But that's what got you back into comedy? Was
yeah,
you in that Fringe show?
Yeah, we did Cannibal the Musical, which is the Trey
yeah.
Parker musical.
Yeah, I've seen the movie of it. It's really
oh,
fucking
yeah.
amazing.
It was
yeah.
a funny stage play, too.
Yeah.
But yeah, I did that, and it kind of got me back into performing.
Yeah.
And then that's what made me want to start doing comedy again.
Yeah, like,
because before that, like, I went and auditioned for it because I was literally doing nothing, like, just yeah. living in my parents' basement. And then, yeah. got the spark going.
Yeah. Well, I think that with comedy, it's like, I always say I'm sick and tired of it. I want to go have a goat farm, but I would miss it way too much.
Yeah.
I would miss everything. Like, every time I go on stage and have a good set, I'm like, oh, I get why I do it.
Yeah.
But then I have a bad set. I'm like, why am I doing this to myself?
Oh, yeah.
Where you'll go to like a...
I have bad sets like every month.
I think if you're not having bad sets, you're not doing it right.
I love when people are like, do you ever bomb like new comics?
And all
I'm like,
the time.
Dude, I bomb once a month minimum.
Yeah. You have to, or you're not trying to do anything new.
Yeah.
It is Fringe season, so everybody's Fringe shows are out. And like, that's my thing, is like, I'll be like so inspired. I'm like, because I've had a Fringe show idea for years and years and years of what I want to do. Nice. But I just like get inspired and then I'm like, yeah, I'll write it. And then I don't.
What's your Fringe idea?
Well, it's just, I don't know if I want to say it because then everyone's going to be like, oh, it's been done before. But I just want to do a show called How'd I Get This Way? And just
yeah.
talk about, like, things that happened in my life that made me
sure
what Kathleen is.
That sounds great.
So, yeah, so
one
that kind of
show.
Thing. Yeah, just, like, just doing
any,
that kind of thing.
Any, like, visual aids or props or just one
woman? I don't
woman
even know what
microphone.
I would do yet. I think I would want to write it first to see what happens and then, like, get into it. Because
you could incorporate, like, a simple slideshow or something, like a
oh,
PowerPoint.
For sure. Like, have you seen Morgan Brayton's?
No, I haven't.
It's really good. He's chewing the Velcro.
He is a butthead.
It's really good. It's about, it's called Giving It Up.
Oh, nice.
I think I just had her on, and it is about deciding whether you want to give up your dream of being an actor. And it's really good. She uses like projections and slides, and she does characters. I'm not a character.
Mm.
I'm not a really great actress. I'm not really good at improv.
Yeah.
So it's just, it would be stand-up. It would be storytelling and things like that. But
yeah.
But, I mean, like, everyone says that they can be so lucrative, but then I also hear that they can be the biggest money losers of your entire year.
Well, you have to sell well, and you also have to have, like, minimal requirements.
Yeah.
Because you don't want to have to tour with more than one person. You just
yeah.
want to go by yourself.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it's just important to, like, get, you know, get your name out there, right?
Yeah.
And, like, make people want to see your show, and... like your reviews. Those are the best things. Is like,
yeah, like I really want to go to and tour in Australia, and I think and I know a big way to get down into the Australia is to do the Fringe down there.
Nice,
but I don't know. It's just like, plus it's like, here, give us $700 and you'll go in a draw, and if we get it, we keep it, and you're just like, I don't have $700 sitting in my bank account that I can just put in deposits, and there are no grants or anything for comedians. I think my main thing is just like, I never have money. I just started doing merch because I finally had a little bit of money and I could invest in it. And it has been the best thing I've ever done. But then when I run out, I'm like, well, I don't have the money for a new order. Like,
yeah,
that's the hardest part, is like getting the capital.
Oh yeah.
For merchandise. So I'm just learning all these new things, trying to figure out how to stay in this business. You don't want to be that comedian that's old and...
Yeah, we won't say who you are.
There's a few of them.
If you're listening.
They're probably
listening. But yeah, you never want to be one of those old, stale road comics.
Yeah, it's hard. I'm terrified
like
to be
looking
that person.
At the recorder while I'm saying
like you're staring at someone.
Yeah, yeah.
It would be awful to have that as your reputation.
Yeah.
You want to be like an Irwin Barker, or you want people to look up to you and respect Mike Wilmot, like that kind of thing.
My way of never being an old stale road comic is to never go on the road.
You have to go on the road.
I do like probably like a half dozen road gigs a year.
That's crazy. Where do you do all your gigs?
I just don't work a lot.
You just do it in Vancouver?
Yeah.
Are you writing for anything right now?
Not right now.
You ever submitted to like 22 Minutes or anything like that?
I looked into making a writing package for them recently, and I was like, I don't care enough about fucking Canadian politics. Like, we have like the most boring country politically in the entire world. Like, I just don't care.
Yeah.
Though, you know what I really want is, what's his name? The Sikh. NDP candidate, like Jagmeet Singh.
In Vancouver,
like
yeah.
No, for the federal NDP.
Oh.
There's like, because
I'm impressed that you know actual politicians' names in Canada.
The reason I learned it was because for like the one day that I was looking at the 22 Minutes package, I saw this guy and I was like, fuck, I hope he becomes the leader of the NDP, not so we can elect him, but so that like Sunny Dhaliwal can play him on 22 Minutes.
Trent McClellan just got hired by 22 Minutes. He's
awesome.
I don't know if he's also writing, but I know he's like on air.
Yeah, Trent's great.
Trent is great, and that's very exciting. Yeah, I would love to see Sunny Dhaliwal on TV more. There's like, I was looking at the list of people in Top Comic, and I was like, oh, I want to say, like, here is my pick for the eight people, but I'm like, so it would cause so many problems.
That's the thing, too, is like,
anytime lists are made, you just make so many enemies.
Well, it's like, if you have friends, like, if you have Canadian comics that are friends, they basically can't promote you right now.
Yeah.
Like Ivan should be telling people to vote for me, but he's not telling anyone to vote for anyone because of the political problems it makes.
He
right?
should just fucking do it.
I mean, I haven't asked Ivan to do it. I just know that in the past when I've asked him to do things like that, he hasn't done it. Because it just creates too many problems.
It does. It causes a lot of... Well, and because we're sensitive fucking creatures.
Yeah.
And, like, I just found out someone that I love unfollowed me on Twitter, and I was just like, what? What did I do?
That's a rough day.
I've
been there.
It hurt my feelings so much because they're always super nice to my face.
The other day...
That's the thing. Like, they're nice to my face. I'm like, oh, you just don't like what I have to say? Like, what kind of message are you trying to send me?
Kathleen, if it makes you feel better, I just realized the other day that someone who's coming to my wedding and is a comic doesn't follow me on Twitter.
We off air will tell each other who it was so we know.
Yeah.
I honestly don't know. And it could, and everyone's like, oh, it might be a glitch, like it's happened before.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, I'll go and check in another day. And I'm like, nope, they still don't follow me. And I'm like, it shouldn't hurt my feelings as much as it does, but it really fucking hurts my feelings.
For sure. It's like, what if I need to send you a DM?
You can send people DMs now. You don't have to be following them.
Oh, really?
They just have to accept them or not.
Oh, that's great.
Same with Instagram. Like, you can get... The funniest thing with Instagram is they'll blur pictures before you get them because, like, inappropriate pictures being sent to people.
Oh, yeah.
But how many dick pics have you gotten?
Zero. That's not a guy problem.
Have you ever had a girl, like, send you pictures of her boobs, like a fan? You ever had a fan encounter? You never gone on a date with a fan?
Oh, I got on a date with a fan.
Yeah.
Like way back
How did it go?
Not great.
It's weird, right?
Yeah, it is weird.
It is weird because they think you're someone who you are on stage, but you're not. And then you have to be that person on stage for this date. That's not why you're playing with my dog so much. It's so
getting
cute.
Getting him riled up.
That's fine.
Because he's a toughie. He's a tough boy.
We're probably going to go to the Fraser River after, and I'm going to throw him in.
Oh, that's fun.
We can go swim. He hates swimming.
Oh, really? Igor hates it, too.
But I want him to get better at it.
Yeah.
And I talked to other people at dog park. Do you go to dog parks with him?
Oh, yeah. Igor loves dog parks.
Dog park people are nuts.
Yeah.
And I'm becoming one of them, and it's terrifying to me.
I like it because... like, if I didn't talk to people at the dog park, I wouldn't talk to anyone.
Have you noticed? Yeah, that's the thing. I've noticed that since I got a dog, my neighbors want to talk to me. Yeah. Everybody wants to talk to me.
Everyone wants to talk to you.
It's a huge, like, social opener.
Yeah, because, in Vancouver, you do not talk to strangers.
No.
But if, like, someone has a dog, you can be like, great dog. Yeah. And they're like, thanks.
And then you start talking.
Even, like, as a guy, you shouldn't comment on like women's appearance.
Yeah.
You know, you can't be like, hey, your hair looks great today.
Yeah.
Like, that's a creep thing to
do. Why can't you say your hair looks great?
Yeah, because you're not supposed to.
Let me just say something if we're going to get on to this subject. In my opinion, as a woman, if you're saying, check out your ass, check out your tits, oh, your pussy's probably great, that's a bad cat call. But if you say you look beautiful or your hair looks nice, why is that so bad?
Just because...
some pretty girls get offended.
If we let one guy do it, then every guy's going to do it. And nobody wants to be told 100 times a day that their hair looks great. After the 15th time, you'd be like, I have things to do. I can't pop these headphones out every time I see somebody's mouth open and close.
Oh, an old man was walking down the street, and then he looked at me and he goes, smile. And he kept going. And then I was like, I'm just walking by myself down the street. Why would I be smiling? I would look like a psychopath if I was walking down the street by myself smiling. Like, that's the most annoying. I think that would be the number one thing that most women say is annoying, and guys tell them to smile.
Have you seen Beth Stelling?
Yeah, I love her. She's incredible.
Her first joke off that comics TV show.
Yeah, I think I saw it, but I need to remember.
Her in an elevator.
Yeah.
And the old man's like, you should smile. And then she's just like, I would, but I have to shit right now.
Ah, yeah, exactly. Exactly.
And just does, like, the most, like, basic voice.
So good. It is true.
A butt.
He is the cutest dog. I wonder if people can hear that.
Probably.
He's been on the podcast before. He did a show with me. He's come on stage with me at Little Mountain Gallery.
Nice.
Yeah, he did a set, and he had really great timing.
Oh, I wish Igor could go on stage.
Bring him with you.
Yeah, he's just not good at sitting still.
Oh, I held him.
Oh, yeah.
Little Mountain, you can do it there because there's no kitchen or anything there.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't want to be Eliza Schlesinger.
Oh, sorry, buddy.
Did you knock him in the face with the microphone?
Aww.
Like, I don't want to be all Eliza Schlesinger, but I do want to bring him on stage with me every show.
Yeah, because it's fun. It's fun for you. It's fun for the crowd. And then you don't have to leave him at home, right?
That's the hardest part, is leaving this little wiener at home. And I bring him on the road with me, and then I got to leave him in the hotel room or wherever I'm staying.
That's great.
Yeah. He's a great road dog. It's really good to have a dog with you on the road, as a woman especially, I think. He protects me. And everybody wants to meet him.
Yeah.
He has fans.
I bet he does.
That give him toys.
That's amazing.
I got a toy from Kirk in Calgary. My friend made him a collar. My friend Jessica made him a collar. I haven't put it on yet because it's in my purse. I keep forgetting to put it on. But
nice.
It's very cool. Do you ever get stuff after shows? Like, people don't ever bring you anything?
I don't really have fans.
So what the fuck do you want with comedy? What do you want to do? Do you want to?
I like doing comedy.
No, I know you like doing comedy, but, like, what do you have goals in the comedy world?
Oh, my big goal right now is so I want to start doing a live stream.
Uh-huh.
That's like half gaming and half comedy.
Uh-huh.
Because live stream gaming is pretty big right now.
Yeah.
You can watch it on YouTube.
You can get huge followers and make a lot of money.
Yeah. So I want to do like a gaming stream. Like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and then on Friday do like a live stream comedy show.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Would it be kind of like Mystery Science Theater 3000 for video games, where you would comment on stuff?
No, I'd be playing video games the whole time. Well, yeah.
While you're doing comedy, you would be playing video games.
Well, no, because the comedy show would be separate from the games. Okay. Yeah, so like the gaming would be more just because like I'm going to play video games for 4 to 6 hours a day anyway, so I might as well do it while people can watch. And then try and like throughout the week gain interest for the comedy show at the end of the week.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's like my big goal right now. And I'm actually not too far off of doing it because like I bought a new gaming PC, so I've got the computer for it now. I just need the space. Like I need an office.
So then you have to rent it out or in your house?
No, I actually have like a company that's going to let me stream from their office.
Oh, that's amazing.
I'm just waiting on the go ahead to move it in. So that's causing me a lot of anxiety right now because I was hoping to get it in there.
Yeah.
During this whole Top Comic voting.
Yeah.
But as of now, I'm kind of like just sitting and waiting.
And I found out today because Michelle Shaughnessy sent me a hectic text being like, do you know that we might not be able to have Americans vote for us and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, I think they can because Christina Walkinshaw has been voting down in LA and she's able to vote. And then I guess she emailed and asked and stuff about it. But like, yeah, Americans can vote now. I don't think they could before.
Oh, crazy.
Americans can vote. I think anybody can vote.
Gross. Americans can vote?
Yeah. That's why I was very excited when Ari Shaffir tweeted for me today.
Yeah, that was crazy.
Yeah, well, he's amazing. He's always been supportive, and he's a very cool guy. And I know that some people like have had issues with him, but I just like him because he's very blunt and very honest.
Yeah. After I saw that he tweeted about you, I said, I'm so embarrassed about this. I sent a message to Tom Segura asking if he would promote me because he's
literally would you be embarrassed
the only
about that?
Famous person who will answer my messages.
And what did he say?
He hasn't gotten back to me, so maybe.
You know what? Honestly, when it comes down to this, our biggest things that will stop us from working hard to get votes is other comics making us feel bad about it.
Yeah.
And I have said since the beginning, I've tried for 2 years to get into this. I'm in this. I'm fucking going to be shameless.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't care if people, this is what promoters are looking for.
Yeah.
Somebody who gets something and makes something out of it. Like it's
totally.
And in Canada, there's this huge thing where, oh, you have to be very humble and apologetic about being successful. Mm-hmm. And Americans are not like this at all.
Yeah.
At all. They're not humble. They're not apologetic. They are like, yes, I'm fucking funny. Yes, I deserve this. They have fan bases because they're that way.
Did you do an interview like with a guy from Sirius about like over the phone? Like getting
with Scott
and stuff. Yeah. So for when I was doing my interview with him for my final quote, he was like, "What do you want your like final quote to be?" And I was like, "I want my final quote to be: You should vote for Kyle Bottom because if I go to the finals, I'm going to destroy every fucking one of those losers." And he was like, I think that's maybe a bit harsh. Do you want to do something nicer? And I was like, yeah, do something nicer.
But also, we're comedians. And if I understand that that's a joke, like, and I've said like before, because someone was like, oh, I got to vote for all the girls and vote for Jane and Michelle. And they said, oh, that's being pretty. Eugene.
I think I was just toughing him up. He's too, just too rough.
He might be getting tired and grouchy. But, they said, oh, you're being really nice getting votes for other people. I'm like, oh, I'll kill Michelle or Jane if they get through. And that's the thing. It's like, it is a contest. And that's the I've been trying to have a positive attitude about things and be nicer.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. Because there was a time when I was living in Toronto where I was this competitive bitch. And I hated anyone that was getting anything that I wasn't getting. Mm. And just now I'm just trying to be... I still get frustrated, but I try to just be like, Kathleen, relax.
Yeah.
It will happen when it's supposed to happen for you.
Yeah.
That kind of thing. But you do have to work. That's the other thing is I found that if I don't do any work, I don't get anything.
No, yeah.
You do have to fucking work in this industry.
For sure.
And the hardest workers will get ahead.
Oh, are you going to do Steve Allen's 28-hour comedy
show? Fuck yeah, that's amazing. I'm so excited.
Did you see that I asked to headline 8 a.m.?
I did. I liked that. I liked that you asked for that. I think that's really cool. Like, so Steve Allen, who runs the Kino here in Vancouver, which has been like a long going comedy show, and it was going to stop. So he bought the bar. Like, this is Steve Allen. He's amazing. I'm going to have him on this podcast at some point. And he's doing this show where it's for the BC Fires.
Yeah.
Because we're on this show at Yuck Yucks. You're on that one at Yuck Yucks, right?
No.
With Simon?
No, I'm not on that one.
I thought, okay, now I'm...
But I'm on the Steve Allen one.
Okay, so Simon set up all this... So I think Simon had a lot to do with the Steve Allen one, too.
Yeah, probably.
But he set up a show at Yuck Yucks on Sunday, August 13th, because there's wildfires in BC right now, and people are raising money for people who've been displaced and stuff. I love the whole thing of Vancouver. It's like, oh, it's so smoky. What an inconvenience. I'm like, yeah, people have lost their homes.
Yeah, yeah. And
so shut the fuck up.
People had to leave their businesses for, like...
And hope that they're there when they come back. Yeah.
And made no money all
summer.
Make
no money, yeah. In a season where that's where they make all their money for the year.
Exactly.
So Simon put this together, and then Steve's now doing a 28
hours. So it starts at 7 p.m. on Monday and goes until 11 p.m. on Tuesday.
That's going to be so fun. I can't wait. So I know.
The whole 28 hours culminates with the regular show at Kino.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I know Pat Thornton has done 24 hours of comedy in Toronto before for his charities and stuff like that. But this is different because it's not just one comic. It's a bunch of comics.
Yeah.
But it's going to be like a 28-hour comedy show.
It's 14 hosts and 12 headliners.
It's going to be so much fun.
Yeah.
I'm really pumped. I'm so excited to do this. But it's not... there's so many people that are commenting on that thread, though, that they want to do it. So how are they... Are some people going to be like, no, we don't need you?
There's going to be a lot of spots.
Yeah, like there's going to be lots of spots.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Are you going to hang out for most of it?
I'll probably get there. Like, if I'm headlining 8 a.m., I'll probably get there around, like, 7.
Yeah.
And, like, have a coffee and smoke a joint. And then, like, I'll probably hang out until,
next door.
Like, yeah, I'll probably hang out until, like, midday. And then go do whatever and then come back for the end of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's great. This is what I love about the Vancouver community, is it is very
better than
creative.
Toronto. Just kidding.
I'm not. I've said it before. I've been in both scenes. Eugene. He's napping at you. Sorry.
I was kind of...
You were riling him up.
I was definitely
in his defense.
I just like to promote the rivalry between East and West. Because they're so much bigger than us that they don't think that we matter.
But that's my problem with them. Like, I lived in Toronto for almost 4 years, and I was part of that scene. And it is good and really bad in the way that you get too competitive, and it's mean. It's very mean out there. Mm-hmm. And it's not as mean out here. I've found that people are a lot more inclusive, a lot nicer about things.
Yeah. I was lucky. Like, as I went out there for 4 months, I said I was moving out there, and it lasted 4 months. But
I've done that twice with LA, so never be ashamed of that.
I already knew K-Trev when I moved out there.
Yeah.
So, like, he, like, introduced me to his, like, friends, like, in comedy. Not just, like, the comics he was friends with, but, like, you know, his buddies. And so I didn't feel like a total outsider.
That's a really big thing when you move to Toronto, is that you should have a little bit of an established group out there. Because when I moved out there, I had been working for Yuck Yucks for 2 years in Alberta.
Yeah.
And I had, like, I went there, and I had work when I went out there.
Yeah.
And I had also been spending my money and flying out to Toronto for a week and doing shows for a week, just so I got to know everybody.
Yeah.
And hanging out at the Yuck Yucks in Edmonton every single weekend and meeting all the headliners that came through.
Mm-hmm.
So, but you can't just move to Toronto and expect that everybody's going to love you.
No, yeah.
Because, it's not the way it's going to happen.
No.
But even here...
Here we're pretty
good.
Understanding.
It takes a little bit to punch your way in, but like I think that's with any scene. You have to hang out and like show that you're there to be a part of the scene.
Yeah.
Which is very and you started coaching joke coaching.
Oh yeah.
What
I started doing that for free, like before the 7 Dining Lounge open mic, because a random guy messaged me on Facebook, was like, "Hey, I saw you at the Comedy Mix a couple months ago. I want to try comedy. Do you know anyone who does coaching?" And I was like, you know, my wedding's coming up in like a month. And I was like, I do coaching. and so I coached this guy for a couple hours. And, you know, it was good. And it gave me like – I actually liked doing it. And I liked – he's not a comic. He's never done comedy before.
Yeah.
So I liked doing it enough with him that I was like, oh, I could do this with people who actually know how to do comedy. And it would probably be a lot more fun.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I've done it. I didn't do it this week because we were out of town, but the last 3 weeks I've been at Sevens for like 2 hours before the start of the open mic. And
have people been coming?
Oh, yeah. Like, I'm generally busy the entire time.
And what do you do?
They just sit down and then they, like, I just say, tell me a joke that you want feedback on.
Yeah.
And then I just, like, open my notebook. They tell the joke like they would tell it on stage. And I just basically just plot out the beats of the joke.
Yeah.
And be like, so this... this, and then we go through and like look at, like, if things are unbelievable, like, if they're, like, ruining the joke by, like, asking the audience to stretch too far, or if it's... A lot of the times, their premises or their setups are just way too wordy.
Yeah. Like, editing is the hugest part of comedy.
Yeah, it's, like, just cutting, like, slashing words out and being, yeah. like, you don't have to, like, restate the name of the thing you're doing. You can just say it the yeah. second time, right? So, yeah, most of it is just like that. Just, like, changing any huge errors, removing any words that don't need to be there, and then, yeah. like, also, if there's, like, you know, if they're like, and I don't know how the joke ends, and then I'll, like, pitch them some ideas for, like,
that's cool that you'll do that for, like, brand newbies. Like, I went out with Jenny Taves for lunch, because I think she's so fucking amazing
she's
and hilarious.
Gardener.
She's amazing. Yeah. And I sat down and showed her how to edit, because she has a couple jokes that are great,
yeah.
but it takes forever to get to the punchline.
Yeah.
And that's what people told me when I started editing, is such a good skill to get early on so that yeah. you can edit your jokes. That's so cool that you're doing that for the comics.
It's fun.
Vancouver's such a happy community. We have barbecues. We have Christmas parties. We have, yeah. it's great.
Well, that was the thing, too, is like the reason that I wanted to start doing that before the open mic was like, there's not a whole lot of resources for like learning how to write jokes better.
Well, they don't have what we, I don't know, when you started, did they do this at your YX in Edmonton? They would have workshops, and you wouldn't even be able to get on to the Tuesday night amateur yeah. night unless you were attended that workshop. And there good. Were shitty workshops. It would be the headliner that week that would come in and talk yeah, to the yeah. comics. And some of them would come in with a prepared workshop.
Yeah.
And some of them would come in and talk about how to not get an STD on the road. And I think one of the most valuable ones that I went to was Kevin Fox.
Yeah.
Because he did what you're doing. He just said, okay, everyone's going to go up, tell whatever joke they want to work on, and then we're all going to critique it and work on it together. And it was so great.
Nice.
And that happens more here than I ever saw in Toronto, where I've heard of joke groups get yeah, together. Yeah. And
what I do, though, is one-on-one.
Yeah, no, that's cool.
Yeah, because I, my thought was that if I did it, like, you know, me and 10 new comics, that yeah. it would become more about, like, my ego than it would
yeah,
about
yeah.
helping the joke.
I'm just standing in front of all of you. And
I also don't want anyone else's feedback, right? Like, I don't want, like, some person who's done comedy 6 times being like, what if you did it like this?
Yeah.
Right? It's like, shit.
Yeah, I'm not great at taking tags. Every once in a while, someone will come up with a really great tag and give it to me, and I'm like, yeah, it works. But sometimes I can't do it because I'm like, I didn't think of it, so I feel weird.
Man. John,
saying it.
Like, I felt weird about taking tags in the past, but, like, John Buehler has written 1 or 2 tags for me
yeah.
that completely changed a joke.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
the
yeah.
tag was so important that, like, that's what the joke came about.
Yeah.
It came about. And, like, you know, like, dropping, like, less funny stuff just to get to that one
yeah.
thing. Yeah.
It's amazing when you have a joke that's been in your... I have a joke that's been in my act for over a year at least, and it always just petered out at the end. Mm. But then I finally figured out a way to have a huge laugh at the end. And I was like, I finished it. I finished it. It took me like 2 years, but yeah. I did it. And it felt really good.
That's the great feeling, is like when it just like hits you like an epiphany. Like
yeah.
you've been walking around with a joke in your pocket for like 2 years and you tell it and it's.
And you say something right yeah, on one
and
show
just,
and
like,
it just.
You just think it just happens. That lightning or the light bulb moment.
Yeah. It's the most amazing. It's an amazing moment. Where can people find you if they want to, like, vote for you for Serious Top Comic?
Oh, have you seen my Instagram lately?
I know. I don't know.
You, I've been posting these stupid little songs.
Kevin
showed me this app called Diddy, and it's just, like, it just plays you anything you text, it plays it as a song.
Oh, my Lord.
That song was Vote for Kyle B to the tune of Monday Night Football.
That's amazing. I love... I'm not even following you. Now I'm following you. But I... oh, you have a ton of them.
Oh, and all that. I've done one every day.
Wait, I want to do I Sharted At.
Oh, that one is good. I did that one because I felt like they were all about my dog.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh.
Yeah.
These are awesome.
Yeah, that's... Diddy is, like, a hilarious app. Like, you take anything you, any text you can write. It's just like a tweet. Like you get a character limit, and then you just pick the song that it goes to.
Yeah.
And like most of the free songs are shitty. They're like, you know, like Yankee Doodle or like the Star Spangled Banner.
Yeah.
But then once a day, they do a free song that's like popular.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's when you got to grab like the song of the day.
I love that you've done this for the top comic because no comics can't come in and start doing it now because they look like an idiot.
I know, right?
That's why I love. Did you see mine where I can make Eugene talk?
That was so good.
So I'm like now, if somebody else does that, nobody can use my what?
Nobody can use your nephew now either.
No, my nephew, and I'm gonna do one with Judy too eventually. No, it's I like the top comic thing because it's fun seeing how creative some people are.
Yeah.
Like Jordan Wellwood from Winnipeg when he was in it 2 years ago.
Well, more like Jordan Smellwood, am I right?
Do you know him?
I like him a lot.
I love Jordan.
But there's nobody in the industry whose balls I bust more than Jordan Wellwood.
Because it's so nice. He's like the nicest guy. But he did such amazing videos and stuff when he was doing it. And I'm like, yeah, that's what you have to do. You don't just sit around and be like, vote for me, I guess.
Yeah. Wellwood's awesome.
Yeah. It's great. It's,
you know, it's important to put effort in, right? Because even if you don't make the top eight, like, it's important to show Sirius that you put effort into promoting
Sirius,
it.
And you know who else is watching this? Just for Last is watching it.
Yeah.
Everybody's, the industry watches what you do with what you get. So if you do nothing with it, they're going to be like, well, they don't really want it that bad. Mm. But if you're relentless, they're like, okay, let's just give it to them so they stop bothering us.
Yeah.
So vote for Kyle and vote for me too. Because you can vote for up to 3 people a day, I think.
I think you can vote for as many as you want.
Really?
Yeah, you just can't vote more than once for somebody.
Yeah, yeah. But, once a day.
So don't vote for no one and don't vote for everyone.
Yeah.
Those are the rules.
Yeah. Yeah. Vote for me and Kyle.
And definitely don't vote for the following people. Mace Galone.
Nigel Grinstead. He was in it last year.
Yeah, yeah.
Did he make it into the finals last year?
No.
No.
But he was in the semifinals last year.
Yeah.
I think you can't do the finals 2 years in a row.
Yeah, I don't think you could. That would not be. You get a lot of sad comics being whiny and complaining about it. And they can find you at Kyle Bottom. Is that your Twitter?
Kyle's Bottom.
Kyle's Bottom.
And my Instagram is Kyle Bottom. I'm Kyle's Bottom on Twitter because I took Kyle Bottom and then I lost the email address.
No, couldn't you recover it?
No, because it was an old work email.
Oh, no. That sucks.
Yeah. It's okay. So, yeah, that's the best, like... My Instagram, I update every day with, like, a ditty or, like, I also upload pictures of dogs. Did you see this? I found this dog on the street.
Yeah.
That's not a filter. That dog was sitting outside
sunglasses?
Of a Burger King with sunglasses, a medallion, and earrings.
Shut up!
And he wasn't tied up. Like, that dog is fucking
dope. That's the best dog ever.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That's amazing. That's not a filter.
Yeah. That's, like... I mean, yeah, it's mostly just dog photos. Have you seen Abdul's dog?
No, I've not seen Abdul's dog. Oh, beautiful. It's like a little brindly pug bug.
She is a mix of a Boston Terrier and a Rottweiler.
What?
So she weighs like 40 pounds, but she is the sweetest dog in the whole world. I love her so much.
Dogs are the best.
Yeah.
They really are the best.
They're game changers.
Really are. And walking, talking antidepressants. He talks to me.
Yeah. Says things like, don't touch my paws.
Yeah, look at his teeth. There we go. You're just going to get it.
He's got tired eyes now.
Yeah.
He's got like the droopy tired eyes.
He's tired. That's why he's snappy.
I love it.
He's like a toddler. When he gets grouchy, he's not himself.
He's a good boy.
His chihuahua comes out. Well, thank you so much for coming and doing the podcast and bringing beer.
Yeah, it was super fun.
Do you need to say anything that you had to get off your chest before you go?
What can I say? Toronto sucks. Vancouver forever. Vote for me and Kathleen. We will make the West Coast proud. No one else will make the West Coast proud.
I'd love to see West Coast people win.
No.
Either you or me.
Oh, yeah. Just you or me. Just Bucks. No Mace Galone.
No Mace Galone. Let's do an anti-Mace Galone.
Mace is the nicest guy
I know.
In the whole world.
I know he is. He's a sweet angel.
Yeah.
We'll just end that. We'll end there with no Mace Galone.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a sweet angel. Well, that's what I got to the end of the road. Burning bridges wherever I go. But I promise you this, I am getting my kicks. So fuck you, this is my bucket list. Well, I got sick of living life. Counting down to get from that
is gonna make.